As I mentioned, this is the last message in the series that we've done, God's Blueprint for Marriage and Family. There are some books on the table if you want to see what the whole series was like, and then the series has been posted audio and video on our sermon audio site, sermonaudio.com/FBCOC. The title of this message is part two of that, When Your Marriage is Holding On by a Thread. When Your Marriage is Holding On by a Thread. Many marriages are just like that. Many marriages are just holding on by a thread. And I've been sharing seven things that you can do to help your marriage knit itself back together. Actually, there's seven things that can, if your marriage isn't having trouble, it can be seven things that'll be very, very helpful in keeping your marriage together and binding it together. We looked at three things to begin with. Number one, we looked at the importance of companionship. We need to make nurturing the marriage relationship a priority. I understand what it is to be busy. There's job obligations, there's children, there's community obligations, there's church commitments and all that sort of things. But what happens is if you do not keep a good connection with companionship with your husband or with your wife, you begin to build up a kind of an unseen wall between you. You both kind of head your own direction and do your own thing and go your own way. It isn't long before your marriage starts to turn cold and have problems. We looked at that the last time. The second one is commitment. The second one is commitment. Now, the Bible says, whatsoever God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Whatsoever God has joined together, let not man put asunder. You need to be committed to your marriage through thick and through thin. Most all marriage ceremonies that I've ever heard and every one that I've ever done, both husband and wife promise for better, for worse, for richer or poorer, for in sickness and health, forsaking all others, keep thou only unto him or her so long as ye both are living, or some variety of that. The reason it's in there is because marriage is to be a commitment. I thought about that before I was married, having been a fireman. I have seen people maimed by fire, and would I continue to love Linda even if she became unpretty? Thankfully, that's never happened. But the fact of the matter is that marriage is a commitment. So if you're going into marriage, make sure that you are committed to each other. I know some of you have had the tragedy of a divorce. I understand all those things, and you're remarried. But I want to tell you, make that a commitment. Just keep on sticking with it. Keep moving forward. Whatsoever God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And the third thing that we looked at before we get to the new stuff is communication. The Bible is very clear that the husband is to dwell with his wife according to knowledge. You have to know your wife. The only way that you can know your wife, the only way you can know your husband, the only way that you can know each other is to communicate with each other. But I am amazed at how many husbands and wives do so little of that. I read to you the statistics. There's 10,080 plus minutes a week. But a study was done, and the average couple spends only 17 minutes in close communication. That's terrible. That's terrible. You can't continue to keep a proper relationship if you are not communicating. That means talking and listening. So those are the three that we looked at in our previous message. And today we're going to plow some new ground. We're going to look at the importance of being appreciated. Appreciation is what I've titled it as. Each and every one of us, we need to have a grateful heart. We need to have a thankful heart. We need to let our spouse know that we appreciate them. You know, appreciation, a synonym for appreciation is to cherish. And Ephesians talks about the importance of the man cherishing his wife. And appreciation is a part of a wife reverencing her husband in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 33. All too often, I know at the distractions of life, the challenges of life, we get so busy and we get so wrapped up with our own thing and in our own little world that we don't appreciate our spouse. You know, I found very clearly it to be true, particularly in my counseling thing. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2 and 3, it says in the last days that people will be lovers of their own selves and lovers of pleasure. You know, it's so easy just to think about yourself, particularly when you're facing all the pressures of life. It's so easy to just think about yourself. And yet, I want to tell you, when somebody puts out for you, marriage is a unifying thing. It should be a threefold cord. It should be you, it should be your spouse, and it should be God. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. But so many times, if you're living for yourself, if you're living in your own world, if you're worried about your own pleasures and worried about doing your own thing, and that seems to be a lot of what's going on today, you don't think about your spouse. It isn't that you try not to think about your spouse. You just don't, because you're so preoccupied with yourself. Men, and that's generic, that means humankind, men shall be lovers of their own selves. Boy, oh boy, that is not good on the marriage relationship at all. I've never been there, but I've seen what my wife does. Being a good wife, being a mother, is not an easy job, particularly if you're a stay-at-home mom. If you're a stay-at-home mom and, if your husband doesn't express appreciation for all of the things you do, it can be very, very discouraging. Women often that are in the workaday world often receive the kudos from their workplace. But a wife wants to be more. My wife wants to be more than a homeschool teacher. The wife wants to be more than a babysitter. The wife wants to be more than a short order cook. The wife wants to be more than a domestic servant. You need to let your wife know, men. You need to let your wife know that you appreciate her. God didn't design you to be alone. But when you're married, God didn't design it to be a relationship of a slave and a master, a dictator and a doormat. God never designed marriage to be like that at all. He designed the wife to be a completer, a companion, to be with you. And so let your wife know that you appreciate the things that she does for you. That shouldn't be too hard to do. It's amazing. It's amazing. I keep my socks in one place on the floor. This morning I went to look for the socks that were on the floor. They weren't there. Magically, they appeared in my drawer. All folded, all ready to pull out and to put on. How did that happen? There is not a sock fairy at my house. But there is my wife, who has taken care of those things for years and years and years and years. And I didn't thank her for that this morning, but thank you. It was nice to have clean socks. Being a good wife is not an easy job. It's not an easy job. I'll say the same thing. Let's look at the other side of the coin. Let's be honest about it. Being a good husband and father is not an easy job either. A dad wants to be more than a paycheck. A dad wants to be more than the manager of the complaint department. You come home and you're greeted with the dump truck. Dad wants to be more than that. He wants to be more than the jack of all trades and the repairman. He wants to be that. And so I'm just talking to the ladies as well. It's nice to thank your husband. Show gratitude for what he does and how he provides. All I'm telling you is that goes a long, long way to keeping a marriage strong. There's so many distractions today, and I'll tell you what, having a strong marriage does not happen by accident. It happens by plan. You've got to work on it. We've been married for 49 years, and I'm thankful for that. But you know what? I still find that when I measure myself, there's areas that I need to work on to keep our marriage strong, because you can't minister if you don't have a strong marriage. Appreciation. Nobody wants to be used. I don't know anybody who wants to be used. Everybody wants to know that they're appreciated. Knowing that your spouse is grateful for what you do goes a long, long way in getting you through the tough situations of life. As I said at the outset, appreciation is a part of what it is to cherish your wife. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 29. Additionally, ladies, appreciation is a part of what it means to reverence your husband in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 33. Absolutely refuse, just refuse to take your spouse for granted. Kind words, lending a helping hand, creative, unexpected actions that show you value and esteem your mate will go a long, 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 long way of keeping a marriage strong. Let's look at the next one. The next one is responsibility and forgiveness. Responsibility and forgiveness, kind of dealing with two here in one of them. But I don't care who you are. We all bring, quote, excess baggage, unquote. We all bring excess baggage into marriage. We do. That may include painful relationships in the past. It may also be some form of sexual excess baggage, sexual abuse, regret over past choices, etc. A lot of times, so many of the things that I deal with these days are family issues. By that I mean broken families. Come from broken families, and alcoholic and drugs and substance abuse are involved and all that kind of stuff. They come from family like that. You have personality flaws. You have personal problems. There's all kinds of things that we bring into marriage. And when something goes wrong, the natural inclination, the natural inclination is to pass the buck, to blame somebody else. And that's just not right. I don't remember which president, whether it was Harry Truman or Theodore Roosevelt, but they had on their desk a sign that says, "The buck stops here. The buck stops here. And so what I'm saying is, you know, a lot of times people have such a difficult time when they're wrong saying, you know, I'm wrong. I'm wrong. Now, they have a difficult time saying, well, I'm part of the problem. And you owe it to your spouse to take responsibility in the event that you are wrong. That's a part of our obligation. It's a necessity. Both husbands and wives need to put away their pride and be willing to say, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? When you're wrong, that's what's in order. You know, a sincere, a heartfelt apology. And I'm not saying that you handle it like this. Well, I was wrong, but you were wrong too. No, you take part of you take your responsibility and let the other person take their responsibility as well. I have a little pamphlet. In fact, it was a part of a book by Jay Adams called Competent to Counsel. Competent to Counsel. I read it many, many years ago, and it was helpful to me in my biblical counseling. And now biblical counseling, that's kind of a misnomer, because biblical counseling is nothing more than discipleship. It's discipling somebody, showing them what the Word of God says and how you can apply it. But this particular portion of the book, which ultimately was made into a pamphlet, dealt with forgiveness. And forgiveness is the fuel that will keep your relationship on solid ground. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 13 points out a proper attitude. We are not to hold grudges. We are to be tolerant. We are to be ready to forgive. Note the specific words in Ephesians 3, 13. It says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. None of us, not me, not you, not anybody else deserves the forgiveness of God. He grants it to us by His grace. Amen? I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful for that. No one deserves it, but He forgives sins. But when a person receives Jesus Christ as personal Savior, they are freely forgiven all of their sins, past, present, and future. Because we are forgiven people, we are to be forgiving people. Now, back to Jay Adams. What does it mean to forgive? And Dr. Jay Adams says, and I'm paraphrasing this, number one, he says it means you are promising and choosing not to use it against the person in the future. You know what happens to our sins when we trust Christ? As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our, what? Transgressions from us. He's not going to use those against us in the future. Secondly, we are promising and choosing not to talk to others about it. Not to talk to others about it. Lastly, we are promising and choosing not to dwell on it ourselves. Because if you dwell on yourselves, you're certainly going to become bitter. I did a whole section of that on forgiveness. There's a book out there if you want to see all of the scriptures that are related to that, but the message is not primarily related to that, but it's part of keeping your marriage strong is forgiveness. I'm so thankful I married a forgiving woman. It's been a blessing in my life. And praise God for it. Number six. Number six. Some people get a little bit antsy about this, but I'm just going to say it. Romance. Keep romance in your marriage. It helps keep the relationship alive. Somebody said to me once, there's not even the word romance in the Bible. They're right. There's not even the word romance in the Bible. However, the principle of romance is clearly there. You say, well, what are you talking about? Well, Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 19, the last part of the verse says, be thou ravished always with her love. You know what that is? That's romance. Song of Solomon 4:9 says, thou hast ravished my heart, my spouse. That's romance. You can see the romantic aspect of a relationship by reading the Song of Solomon. You can see how romance and love builds by reading the book of Ruth and the relationship between Ruth and Boaz in the Old Testament. You can actually see romance in a negative setting in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, it says it's a shame for a man to fondle a woman, to touch a woman. But it goes on to say you should marry, because that is where the romantic stuff should be involved. It says to the wife, your body's not your own, but your husband's. It says to the husband, your body's not your own, but your wife's. So it completely is there. While I don't agree with a lot of the psychological spin that Dr. James Dobson has taught through the years, I think he's right on in this observation when he says this: a man can be contented with a kind of a business partnership in marriage provided intimate privileges are a part of the arrangement. As long as the wife prepares dinner each evening, is reasonably admirable, and doesn't nag him during football season, he can be satisfied. But that is not the case with the wife, he says. She yearns to be her husband's special sweetheart. She yearns to be her husband's special sweetheart. She would trade the top-of-the-line newest smartphone, the new smart TV or dishwasher, for a single expression of genuine tenderness and attention. A wise husband will take his wife on dates. You know what? I look forward to those times, and you don't have to spend a lot of money to do that. She's perfectly happy when the other night I took her on a date to Wendy's. She had a mini bacon cheeseburger, and we just sat there and we talked and enjoyed each other. I didn't have the mini. The maxi, okay? But my point is, you know, the way to keep your marriage together, your marriage alive, and if it's hanging on by a thread, take some time to realize that, how did you gain your wife's attention to begin with? Take her on dates, remember anniversaries, special days. Had somebody tell me, my husband has never got me a flower or a card on birthday, anniversary, or anything. You know, I think that's a crying shame. I mean, maybe you show that she's special in another way. I don't know. But we need strong marriages, friends. And they don't happen by accident. And we're both sinful people. And if you look at all the shortcomings as Hunter's orange, it's easy to spot the shortcomings after you've been married 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. Because you lived with them and you've known them for so long and you see them in the context of daily living. Are you going to let that destroy the warmness of your relationship? I hope not. I pray not. You know, if you want your marriage to be vibrant, you will stimulate romance in your relationship. You got smartphones, text your wife a love note. Get her a gift just out of the blue. You'll then stand behind her so she doesn't completely pass out when you give it to her. The last one, because we've got to come to the Lord's table, but active spiritual involvement. Active spiritual involvement. I appreciate some of you who are sticking with it and doing what's right, and your spouse isn't a believer. But you're doing these things. You're trying to work on your end from the relationship. You're praying for their salvation and so on. And so I understand that if your wife isn't going to cooperate, there cannot be the active spiritual involvement, but you can live the fruit of the Spirit in your Christian life before them. You can do these other things with them. But the kind of self-giving and love needed to really sustain a marriage can't be generated on personal effort. When you get saved, the book of Romans tells us that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. When we get saved, we have the ability to exercise the self-giving agape love of 1 Corinthians 13. That's why it's so important to have a spiritual aspect in your marriage. It's not the least. In fact, it's right at the top drawer. You know, if you don't think attending church is important, your kids will catch on that. And they'll think that spiritual things aren't important. But spiritual involvement with the risen Savior and being active in your local Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church is an important testimony and a way to keep your marriage strong. A study from the University of Virginia put it this way: couples who attend church regularly are 42% more likely to be married for the first time than couples who don't attend church. One day this week, just out of necessity, I had to get up and go. We weren't able to have our Bible reading in our prayer time. That's a very intimate time for Linda and I. And we both missed that because that's a part of our bonding together as not only a husband and wife, but a brother and sister in Christ and for my church family. When we go through those prayer requests and pray for those needs of the people who are near and dear to us. And boy, oh boy. So I don't know, husbands, if you have a believing wife, God expects you to be the spiritual leader. God expects you to get a time together with your wife and pray together. Get a time with your wife and read the scriptures together. Because that will help bind your marriage together. And those of you who have unsaved spouses, let them see you studying your Bible. you know, try and pray at the meal times and those type of things, and let them see that Jesus Christ is important to you in your life. Well, I believe that a warm relationship. I'm so thankful for a warm relationship with my wife. It beats a cold utilitarian relationship by far. Some guys can't wait to get away from their wives. That's not my problem. And it shouldn't be your problem as well. So, you know, suggestions, companionship, commitment, communication, expressing appreciation, responsibility and forgiveness, romance, and active spiritual involvement will indeed knit your marriage relationship together. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes.